Welcome back to Stateside. I'm Laura Weber-Davis, in for Cynthia Canty. Samuel Stanley Jr. is the new president of Michigan State University. He was previously president of Stony Brook University in New York. Stanley arrives at MSU during a time of healing and rebuilding after a series of high-profile controversies surrounding the disgraced sports doctor and serial sexual abuser Larry Nassar. Here to talk about his vision for the future of Michigan State is Samuel Stanley. Welcome.
It's great to be here.
So what drew you to Michigan State in the first place?
You know, it's an amazing institution, the pioneer land-grant institution, a place with extraordinary scope and scale, and that means impact. And one of the things that, you know, being a university president, one of the things you strive for is the opportunity, I think, to have impact, to make a difference in people's lives. And Michigan State University does that for the state, for the region, for the U.S., and for the world. So the opportunity to lead a school like that, I think, is special. And so I wanted to take it on.
Well, you were president of Stony Brook University in New York for 10 years. Michigan State's problems have been well publicized. I'm sure you heard about them on the East Coast. From my perspective, Michigan State's image was hurt academically, its academic stature on a national scale. Would you agree that Michigan State's image had been hurt?
I think it's what happened was horrific, and I think people recognize the extraordinary tragedy of what's taking place at MSU. I'm not sure how much, honestly, that translated to a decline in the respect for the research and the kind of scholarship that goes on there. But it certainly was viewed as an institution that's having challenges. I think the fact that other institutions are having challenges at the same time, to some sense, might mitigate some of this. But I don't want to underplay how, you know, the horrific tragedy that took place at MSU. But rather just to say that maybe at least in the academic world, people divorced to some degree what's happening in research and scholarship there versus what was happening with the incident.
Well, how do you begin to tackle some of those issues?
The first thing, obviously, is to listen and learn and really make an effort to understand what those issues are. I think that begins with and one of the clear things I want to do early on is meet with survivors and understand their issues and concerns and their experiences. That needs to help guide, I think, some of the actions we're taking. The next thing, I think, is to really understand culture and climate, and they've just completed a 15,000-person survey of faculty, staff, and students in MSU. The data from that will be coming out, so I think that will help guide. And then obviously paying attention to the multiple investigations that have taken place to understand where are areas where our policies and procedures broke down, where are areas where we may have been understaffed, where are areas where people didn't know what their responsibilities were, or if they knew them, they failed to act on them. So I think all those things, and I think there's a lot of information out there already that I think is going to be helpful, but I think we want to build from what happened and, again, develop the most safe and inclusive campus we have. So a lot of these first few months, I think, are going to be listening to understand this. But there's also a number of actions that have taken place and taking a look and making sure those were the right things to do and to make sure that we're investing in those that we need to invest in.
You said, and you have said before, that you are planning on meeting with survivors of Larry Nassar. Have you been able to speak with any of them yet?
So, no, not directly, but that will take place in September. So we're working now. So we have a relation to violence and sexual misconduct advisory group. So they're serving as a liaison for us with the survivor communities, and that would be not just survivors of Nassar, but survivors of sexual assault in the MSU community. And so we'll have meetings with those groups, and we're working to get them arranged now. We wanted to wait till people get back on campus in September, but I think those meetings will take place in September.
So there's this sense that when a new president comes in, it kind of brings forth a new era for a university, maybe a clean slate. Does Michigan State have any remaining responsibilities when it comes to the Larry Nassar scandal?
I think, again, part of that is, you know, why I'm here in these early days is to understand what those responsibilities are. I think that we need to, again, work with the communities, all survivors on our campus, but work with all other constituents as well to understand what we can do better. One of the things I think that we want to do at Michigan State University is really have a strategic plan for diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's something the university hasn't had in the past and I think is another need. I think it's all about creating a culture of safety, of being welcome, and of diversity and inclusion on campus. So I think all those things come together.
Before the Larry Nassar scandal broke, the university had received some negative attention and headlines for its treatment of sexual assault survivors in general. how do we begin to turn the tide when it comes to these major institutions? It's hard to keep track of many, many students, but how do we begin to turn that cultural tide where women and all people are feeling safe on campus and around the campus areas?
So it's incredibly important, and it takes a lot of work. I think the first is we really have to deliver on a system that people have confidence in. So people believe that if they make a report, that their report will be fairly investigated, that there's enough people we have on campus to do those investigations in a timely and effective manner, and that we have, as I said, the policies and processes in place that people report when they should report. All that, I think, is policies, procedures, and adequate staffing and training. And then I think education awareness of the campus is huge. And we've put a lot of investment before I came, and we're going to continue to in prevention, outreach, and education. And that's critically important. So we really do have to kind of change culture, as you talked about, Laura. And the key to that, I think, one of the keys is awareness and education. So we've reached, as I mentioned before, or I may have mentioned, we've reached 72,000 people in training last year. That's incredibly important. But we need to find different ways to reach people. It's not enough just to do online. One needs to have in-person. One needs to be able to develop things like bystander programs to help people know how to react when something's happening in front of them. How do you react to be constructive and make a difference? All these things, I think, need to take place. And I think over time, hopefully, we'll earn trust again in our systems and what we do. I think that really will make a difference in changing culture. So I think those are the important first steps.
I want to talk about diversity and inclusion as well. You mentioned that. And I was looking at the demographics for Stony Brook and for Michigan State, which these major institutions here in the state have struggled to ensure that the populations are diverse. How do you go about turning the tide to looking maybe more like Stony Brook, which is a smaller scale, but you still had to tackle that clearly?
So I think that's, again, a very important challenge, and there's multiple layers that one needs to work on. So the first is to make sure that we're adequately recruiting and targeting students of color and underrepresented minorities in our region. That's very important. Then I think most of all is student success, making sure we're doing everything we can so those students succeed at the university. Of course, we care about the success of all students at the university, but some of the students who come from economically disadvantaged backgrounds may have some handicaps in terms of the high schools they attended, what extra help they get in studying, study habits, and so on. So we had a couple programs at Stony Brook University that I think were very effective in helping economically disadvantaged students succeed, and those included summer programs to help get them adapted into the university, programs of tutoring, mentoring, peer mentoring programs. And I think all of those things helped us address what were some gaps between students at the university. So we were able to abolish the gaps in graduation rates between Pell Grant eligible students and non-Pell eligible students, so it's a measure of income. We're able to abolish the gaps between black and white students in graduation rates and between Hispanic and white students in graduation rates. So it was a long-term effort. It's not something that was turned around in days or years, even a few years. I was there 10 years, and it took a number of years for us to get to that point. But I think we wanted to talk about those kind of strategies and employ them. But the second thing that's really important is getting more diversity in faculty and staff. And that's what I've found to be most challenging is how one gets to that goal. It really involves getting rid of implicit biases in recruiting. It involves being more aggressive about creating pools of applicants that have diversity, not proceeding with searches if you don't have diverse pools, particularly at senior leadership levels. All these things have to take place because one of the things I heard from my students at Stony Brook was we don't see enough people who look like us among some of our students of color. There's not enough people who look like us. We don't have the role models for people. So that's a huge challenge, and I think it's one, again, that I look forward to working with our entire community to address.
Between a lack of diversity and the issues that we have been seeing surrounding the Larry Nassar scandal, we're talking about a major cultural change that needs to happen. I'm just curious how you start to turn the tide when it comes to culture.
So I think, first of all, it has to start with me and at the top. It has to be clear to everyone in the institution that this is something I value and care about, that this matters to me, and I'm going to hold people accountable, essentially, for their performance in that area. One of the things that I instituted at Stony Brook was reviews when I met with my senior leadership team. We would constantly go through what was the makeup of their units, what were new hiring they were going through, what was the pools look like in the hiring pool. really pushed the fact that this mattered to me and how I evaluated their performance was their efforts to increase diversity in their organizations, and that was really important. And then I think for students, again, the kind of training we can do to make sure that even when they come, what we did at Stony Brook was even before they arrived in pre-orientation, we had things about diversity, about cultural competency training that went on our campus, to all designed to try and improve campus climate. So I think all these things are important in changing culture, but I really do believe that people have to believe that the institution values it and cares about it and that it's a priority for them. And I think if you start there, it becomes easier to do. It's never easy, but it has to be. It has to be clear to everybody that the senior leadership team has bought into this.
You know, if culture change happens, as you say, as from the top down, in an article I read recently, one of your main critics from Stony Brook basically said you don't have the bedside manner to change the psychology, if you will, of a student body or make them feel comforted. Is that a fair assessment?
Obviously, I don't think so. And I think really I would be judged by my actions and deeds rather than that assessment. I talked about some of the progress we made in those areas, and I think that's probably what I'd rather be judged by. I think it is really important that one be accessible. I think that is important, that one be willing to go to events, talk to people about this, again, communicate to the campus how important these issues are to me. And I think I did that at Stony Brook.
You're listening to Stateside. I'm speaking with Samuel Stanley Jr., the new president of Michigan State University. I think it's fair to say that there is a lack of trust with MSU's administration right now. Do you think that it's sort of passed down that you're going to have to be combating the ills of the previous administrations and have to work to first repair that relationship? Or do you think that because you're new, that you'll be able to get in early with students and faculty?
You know, that's a great question, Laura, and I think I don't really know the answer to that yet. I know that I'm going to work very hard to earn people's trust, and that I think based on, you know, doing the things I say I'm going to do. I mean, we've talked about a lot of things today, but the question is, am I going to do them? And I think by doing those things and being committed to the things I talked about today to actually implementing them, I think that's how you start to earn trust. And so I expect people will expect some new things from me and expect some perhaps some improvements from me. But I think really I have to earn trust, and that's what I look forward to doing.
So this is obviously a period of great change for Michigan State, as it is any time a new president starts, but it's also a period of great change for you personally and professionally. Are there aspects of your professional approach that you are reevaluating or reconsidering as you make this shift for yourself?
So that's a great question. And I think one of the things, again, is we talked a little bit about is being even more open in communications and communicating more perhaps than I did at Stony Brook. I think sometimes it's easy when you're leading a large institution like that to take for granted that people know what your goals are, what your aspirations are, because you do talk about them to audiences and so on. But I think it doesn't always get generally communicated. And so one of the things I did at Stony Brook that I'm going to continue at MSU is I'm really going to reach out to meet as many faculty, staff, and students as I can. I'm going to be living on campus, so that will help in the process. But amazingly enough, yes, yeah. I'm going to live there. Living there now, actually.
Okay. But I
think the other thing is, at Stony Brook, I started a policy of meeting with all the departments of the university. It usually took me about a year and a half to do it. I think there's more than 100 at Michigan State. But that's a chance for me to really do a Q&A with every faculty member at the university. So I'm going to continue that. I'm going to find more ways to meet students. I developed a dinner program where I had dinner with students in their dorms and did that a couple times a month, set up office hours. Any way I think I can be more accessible and communicate more, I think, is going to be helpful because it's really important. We've talked about the trust issues, and so I want to be out there so people can see me and hear what I have to say.
It's funny thinking about being more relatable when you're talking about a university that you're going up so much in scale and the number of people you'll have to meet or shake hands with. But also, I feel like maybe a president of a large university is more visible in their community. Would you say that's true?
I think it is true. And I think because of some of the venues we have and so on, there's actually more chance for me, I think, to get in front of of the campus, and I'm going to take advantage of it in every way I can. That's going to occupy a lot of my time early on. And I'm going to try and spend a lot of time on campus. When I was at Stony Brook, one of my goals was really to be on campus president for the first few years. Now, there's important responsibilities for fundraising and other things that may take me away from campus, but I'm going to do everything I can to stay on campus and be visible.
What are you anticipating to see among the student body when they return in the fall? What do you anticipate your interactions will be with them?
I think it's, again, going to be listening, obviously, and understanding. I think it's, you know, understanding kind of who they are, what they're interested in, what they expect from the university, what they believe they need from the administration. All those things, I think, are important. I've really always enjoyed my interactions with students, and I would say that's probably the thing I enjoyed most about being a university president was interactions, particularly, honestly, with the undergraduate students, because they're so enthusiastic generally. They're so excited about their education. The students at Stony Brook were excited to be at Stony Brook University. They really, you know, wanted to be a part of it. We're concerned. I expect to find the same in MSU, obviously, just from the pride I've seen from people around, how much they care about the institution. I think I'll see the same thing. And so understanding how I can be helpful to them and having conversations about their lives. It's interesting. A lot of students asked me about pre-med. What was it like to be a pre-med? And of course, you know, that happened for some time ago. So I'm not sure my information's all up to date. But I think, you know, they want to relate their experiences to maybe experiences I've had as well. So it's just always fun to talk to them. And I think it's going to be great.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you about the relationship between Michigan State and the attorneys general that have come through and been critical of the university and said that the relationship in this investigation hasn't been fully collaborative and that Michigan State was essentially withholding information. What is the current standing of that relationship, and do you see your administration changing that relationship?
I think, it's primarily been an issue, obviously, between the Board of Trustees and the Attorney General in terms of releasing documents that are under attorney-client privilege. And so it's not something that I've been directly engaged in. I really see my job as, again, as we've talked about, as working to move forward, essentially, in terms of understanding everything we can about what's happened. There's a Clary investigation. There was an internal investigation that Michigan State did. There's the investigation by the Attorney General and the subsequent indictments. And so I'm really focused on that. And I think the board is really in those discussions of what would next with the Attorney General.
Lastly, how would you measure success for Michigan State and for yourself?
I think the parameters are the same we talked about. So I think the objective parameters relate to student success, our graduation rates. They relate to our applications and making sure we continue to have great applicants that can succeed at Michigan State University. And there are things like dollars in research and how much we've grown over a period of time. I think those are measures of success. But importantly for this job will also be our climate surveys, understanding how people feel about the university, really taking a look at how we're handling issues around sexual misconduct and making sure our policies are considered among the best in the country. And I would hope, you know, 2 years from now, a year from now, that, you know, we will be invited to talk about how one responds to this kind of thing and how one makes a safer campus and a campus with a better climate. And that's my hope, that we'll be seen as an exemplar in this area. That's a tall order and a lot of work to do, but that's my hope going forward.
Samuel Stanley Jr. is the new president of Michigan State University.